Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man, all superheroes, all battling against other characters who all have godlike powers. They are superheroes. Some superheroes, they use their powers to help fight daily crime. Crime that us humans are afraid of, so they combat those threats. And they're doing so against supervillains so often. You know, their criminal counterparts. And often at least one of these supervillains is the superhero's nemesis or archenemy. So I think of Batman and Wonder Woman and Spider-Man and Captain America and Iron Man all have godlike powers, so we call them superheroes. But what if you really, really saw a superhero in real life with your own eyes? What if you really, really actually witnessed someone do something that was incomprehensible by natural forces? What if you saw someone lift a car like Superman is on the screen? Or maybe fly by you without being in a plane or without a jetpack, shoot lasers from their eyes, turn into fire and then back again, run faster than a bullet, watch a bullet bounce off someone's chest? What would you think? Would you think there might be gods among us? Well, that's what was happening in a city in modern-day Turkey called Lystra, where Paul and Barnabas find themselves on their first mission excursion. The inhabitants of the town, you see, they saw something that they're never going to forget. They saw something with their own eyes that was incomprehensible. They saw what they thought were gods on earth. Gods among them. Superheroes with amazing superpowers, because they saw Paul miraculously heal a crippled man in his feet. He was lame from birth. He had never walked. And Paul heals him and says, "Rise, get up, walk." In fact, here's what it says in the Bible. It says, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. And you see, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in Lyokinian, the language of them, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." See, they thought Paul and Barnabas were gods among them. You know, I've read this account several times, many times before, in fact, and two things kind of stood out to me as I reviewed it this last week. The first thing is that the people of Lystra started shouting things in a language that Paul and Barnabas didn't understand, saying Lyokinian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men," in human form. And they are almost not wrong, because God indeed has come down to us in human form, has he not? In Jesus. That's the whole point of Paul and Barnabas and their mission trip, to talk about what God has done for us and for the people that they were ministering to in Jesus. But Paul doesn't quite get there in our reading. We see that God comes, and we see that he works through Paul in his preaching and through the healing that he did of that lame man who never walked, who never moved his feet. The second observation that I had is in the text is that God comes and works through mere mortals. God is present in people. God is present in you. He's present in me. God works in us, with us, and through us to the point of leading ourselves and to others to the healing life that God brings to us. And don't miss that the reaction of Paul and Barnabas here to being called gods among them. They had the celebrity status, right? They had the hero worship. They had, in the context today, what I would probably say like a social media following that people chase after these days. They had all of that. But what did they do about it? Well, they didn't bask in their own glory. They didn't capitalize on their fame. Instead, they tore their clothes because the people couldn't understand what they were saying, different languages, right? And they scolded their adoring fans, if you will, and said, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men or only human like you." So Paul and Barnabas got me thinking then, of course. You know what the question's going to be, right? How would I have responded? How would you? If people mistakenly thought you were a god, would you stop them from worshiping you? If people mistakenly thought you were a hero, would you let them to continue to believe it? If you could have celebrity status, you could have the fame status, you could have the fortune that goes with a rock star or a winning top athlete, would you accept that praise from people? If you had millions of followers on your social media account, would you use it to the glory of God? If you were praised for being such a good and great employee, a smart student, a wonderful spouse, would you give glory to God, or would you accept the praise as if you deserved it all yourselves? The reality is, dear friends, is that we face these choices every day of our lives as we journey in this life. See, will you accept the praise of people, or will you only seek the glory of God? And the choice is ours. You know, and as I'm thinking about superheroes too, there's kind of a fine line, if you will, between a superhero and a supervillain, because both have these amazing powers. It's just the question of how they're going to use them, right? I was thinking about superhero movies as well. I think in current times they've become more realistic in my own mind. Movies, superheroes from the past, you know, good and evil was always very clear. It was always black and white, superhero movies of the past. You know who the good guys were. You knew who the bad guys were. The bad guys were bad. The good guys were always good. But now they show the superheroes becoming corrupt in movies today. They put on the black suit. They turn to the villain or to the villain side. They portray the villain maybe even changing their hearts and becoming good and becoming a hero. The good guy turns bad. The bad guy turns good. It's kind of like Batman fights Superman. Captain America fights Iron Man. Wonder Woman fights Spider-Man. That's why I say I think the newer films are more honest as they wrestle with the questions and highlight the choices that people are free to make in their lives. They show this inner struggle of one who has great powers wrestling with those questions of morality and how to use those powers for good or for evil. And I think you and I can relate. That struggle is really portraying what every single individual struggles with in his or her conscience. And perhaps more, how every Christian struggles with that old Adam and that old Eve, that old nature in us, versus the new recreated image of Christ within us. There is that struggle. And the truth is, you and I, we have great power on the screen. This is the verse that we use for the convention. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And then I remember that quote of Peter Parker's, that is Spider-Man's Uncle Ben in Spider-Man. He said, "With great power comes great responsibility." Dear friends, your tongue has incredible power. You can use it to the glory of God, or you can use it to your glory. It can destroy reputations, it can destroy careers, this tongue, or it can offer people hope, and it can offer people eternal life. Turning them from, on the screen, from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, from our text. Let me add that your dollars as well have incredible power. Your dollars can be used to your glory or they can be used to God's glory. They can be invested in things that'll relatively be forgotten in a few short years or accomplish amazing things and building monuments, if you will, in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy from our text again. And dear friends, we are held accountable by God for what we do with the gifts and what we do with the abilities that He's given us. We can't sit around and do nothing. We can't give nothing. We cannot do nothing. We can't declare and throw our hands up, not my problem, kind of like Spidey did one time as he watched a man get robbed. I remember the words. With great power comes great responsibility. And dear friends, we have great power, but sometimes we use it irresponsible. Because you may be sitting there thinking, Pastor, I don't worship Zeus, I don't worship Hermes, I could never do that, and why would anyone think those gods were real? But as we consider and look inside of ourselves, sometimes we do consider ourselves gods as we were in charge of our lives, that maybe God placed others to serve us only, that they're the ones to make the sacrifice in this world. I'm here for pleasure. I'm here for happiness. I'm here to achieve my goal in life as if we were the only ones who matter. Let me propose a few questions to you and myself as well. I guess I already proposed these to myself as I wrote them down. But they're going to show up here on the screen. Just some things to make it practical, I hope, to bring it home to each of us on a level that's down to earth here now. So here are the questions. What is my source of security? Where do I gain my sense of worth? What am I trying to achieve and why? Who do I thank when things go well? And who do I blame when things go badly? Let me share with you something from Martin Luther's Large Catechism. He explains that we break the first commandment anytime we fear, love, and trust in anything or anyone other than God Himself. And what that means is that we're making ourselves our own God. Anytime we break any of the commandments, 1 through 10, then really we're breaking them all and see our desires become before God, and therefore we're making that desire our idol. So we are not fearing and loving and trusting in God above all things. We're making ourselves God. Though, you know, we'll never be mistaken for Zeus or Hermes, I'd have to say, we often act as though, right, we are God among us. As if we were the gods on earth, and you know what we deserve for such exaggerated pride in ourselves. Well, we deserve Hades, it's called. It's not that mythical god of the underworld, it's the very real hell that the Bible calls Hades. For worshiping the false gods of this world and making ourselves to be gods, we deserve then to be separated from God, the one true God, forever. So here we go, here's some gospel. Ready? I'm sure you are. Thanks be to God that there really was a God among us, right? The true and one and only God who didn't leave Mount Olympus, but He left heaven itself. He came to live among us as Emmanuel. He is God with us. He came not to be worshipped, but to worship the Father. How? With a perfect, obedient life. So He left the admiration. He left the adoration of heaven for the rejection and the ridicule of rebels. He came not to be served, but to be sacrificed. So He left the praises of paradise to take on that crushing cross of our selfishness. And like a superhero, He sacrificed Himself and gave His all to rescue us as well. And that makes all the difference for you and I in this world today. See, we don't need to sacrifice to Zeus. We don't need to sacrifice to Jehovah. We don't need to give a contribution to get an absolution. We don't need to offer our service to earn our salvation. The once-for-all sacrifice has been made. You are forgiven. We are redeemed. We're no longer identified as villains, if you will. We are now sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And as a son and a daughter of God, we've been given divine power. Yes, divine power from our Father. You may not have superhuman strength or superhuman agility. You may not be able to fly. You may not be able to shoot webs from your wrist or bend steel. You may not have a miraculous power to heal someone's lame legs or make a tumor disappear or make cancer vanish, but you do have power. You have the power to forgive as God has forgiven us. We do have power to offer comfort and hope and peace in a way that an unbeliever never can. We do have power to speak words that give immortality to the soul. What superpowers we have, dear friends. We have the power of God for salvation for all who believe. So let's go out and use those superpowers to be superheroes. And as we do things for other people, let's go and help those who struggle to care for themselves. Maybe not exactly the same way that Paul did for the man who couldn't get up and walk on his own two feet. But we can help alleviate people's agony and ease their pain physically, spiritually, emotionally. So let's go and share that message of God, the power of salvation, by the word of who walked among us. Let's use the superpowers on the screen: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's use our supernatural abilities that God has given us to serve, to teach, to encourage, to give generously, to govern diligently, to show mercy cheerfully. Friends, God is present in the healing of the crippled man from our text. He's present in the risen Christ. He is present in His word that you have heard today. He's present in the breaking of the bread and the drink and the sharing of the cup in the Lord's Supper. He's present in the promised life of eternal life for all of us. We see that God is present today with you, with them. God is present wherever you go. He's present in all of things that are happening in our world, in the places we don't think God is, and even in those places that people claim God can't be. He's there. We know He's present there. God's already there. And maybe knowing that, I hope, will inspire us to see the unexpected ways that God will call us to serve Him and our neighbor in our everyday lives, in everyday simple matters. Because God works through mere mortals like you and me. So let's choose then to use our super divine powers for good and not for evil. Let's use our powers to put others ahead of ourselves, to serve them, to help them without seeking any glory or praise for ourselves, to be those superheroes that God has recreated us to be. Let's get on our feet. Let's go be all that our superhero wanted us to be. Let's be and give thanks to our superhero, Jesus, who is really God among us, to rescue us. So let me say, as it says on the screen, Jesus to the rescue. In His name, dear friends, amen.